Welcome to the Cole Comedy Show. I'm your host, Ricky Cole. How can I start this crazy Tuesday off? Yesterday, the president did a briefing that was more comical than a stand-up act. The reason I say that, you had to see it to believe it. You know, he wants to open up the government now. And I said, well, he said he has sole authority to open up the government. Here's the same man who didn't have no authority to close down the government. So now he has authority to open the government. And this is our president. This is our president. And you can't fault him for it. I fought the voters. Here's a sample of some of the nonsense.
Back in January, referring to his travel ban on China, but he was pressed by reporters about what he did after that. Listen to what he said.
You reported it. Zero cases, zero deaths on January 17th. January
30th.
A lot. A lot. And in fact, we'll give you a list. What we did, in fact, part of it was up there. We did a lot.
That's our president. Now the world is looking at this guy, man. The world is looking at him. And I just want to know, how could you still think that this guy was qualified to be president of the United States? I would love to know, are you drunk on stupidity, or really? This guy? You made him president. This is crazy times. This is crazy times, man. You're listening to the Cole Comedy Show. I'll be right back. Welcome. The media is now bugging out because the president's showing to the world that he's not really in charge of the country. And he's more worried about his re-election. When the economy was doing great, he took credit. Now it's really doing bad and he don't want to take credit. So the media, especially CNN, now is really showing that they're kind of pissed off. So that means the owners of CNN, stockholders, are embarrassed that they helped put this guy in the White House. So now they're talking about the coronavirus and the president is not really doing his job. Let's check it out.
And just to defend himself instead of focusing on how he moves the response to the coronavirus forward.
I would just say, Jim, it's an interesting point. When Jake asked Governor Murphy of New Jersey about that on Sunday, he said there should be a 9/11 style commission after this, and we should assess. But now's not that moment.
Well, you would imagine, I mean, the 9/11 commission was taken seriously from a bipartisan perspective. You wonder if that's even possible in the current environment. John Harwood, you now have this battle royale set up potentially between the White House and the states on who has the power to reopen the economy, parts of the economy, et cetera. Is that a battle politically that the president wants? Does he really want to take this all the way to the Supreme Court on this question? Does that serve him well in his view?
I don't think so, and I don't think it's going to turn out to be as big of a battle as it felt yesterday when he asserted that authority. I think that was the president blowing off steam, watching governors take the lead and say, President Trump's not going to get the job done, so we're going to move ahead. And he's responding by saying, no, I'm the president, I've got the power. He sort of gave away the game later in the briefing when he said, well, the states are going to go along with what I want. Mike DeWine was on with Anderson. He's the last night. He's the governor of Ohio, and he was asked this question. He said, "Well, you know, of course, the buck stops with me, and I'm going to make the final decision. But we'll consult with the president." I think that's how this is all going to shake out. And I do think, for all the disagreement privately and the pushing of economic advisors to open up, which we saw in the consideration before Easter as well, in the end, as Fauci said at that briefing yesterday, the president acquiesced to those public health warnings, and the public health warnings are so unanimous across that field, it's very hard for me to see how, other than in a few isolated places with few cases, that he's really going to try to initiate something that the governors say that they're not ready for.
Can I just add, Jim and Poppy, I think we have to remember the individuals. We have to remember all of us. We're the ones who are going to make this decision. And I think what's interesting is that when the president speaks about the tension between, you know, the public health concerns and our economic concerns, it's a real tension. And there's lots of Americans who watch him on a daily basis who say, gosh, I can't stay in this isolation forever. I have no way to make any money and to support my family. I think there is real tension there, but I think individuals are going to listen to their mayor. They're going to listen to and see what their schools are going to do, public, private, whatever. They're going to listen to the public health officials. I think the president's less relevant than perhaps he'd like to be. He's not going to decree an opening of society. He can pave the way for a lot of that, but I think individuals are going to make their own risk assessment.
That's a little sample of what CNN talking about. People getting restless. Another 2 months in isolation. Not only restless, nuts. We're going to go nuts. When you hear the Republican Party talk about less government, you're seeing it. States' rights, you're seeing that. The free market. Now you see what the free market have done to the United States. This is greed and propaganda. The reason I say propaganda, because the Republican Party has it, and so does the Democratic Party. But see, on the conservative side, it's all spin, misinformation. And I consider if a party has to lie to its base, you really don't have the base well-being in mind. That what I mean is that you don't give a fuck about them. You just want them to be lock in step with your policies. That means if they be homeless or they get sick from this virus, they don't care. Go shopping. Go buy something. That's why I'm getting out of this. Maybe I'm wrong. You know, maybe I'm not. But that's what I'm getting out of this. And so now we're listening to this news podcast, and I'm listening and I'm thinking, wow, these journalists didn't give a shit about kids being locked in cages. It was just another story. It didn't affect them. It didn't even go into their homes. You know, they go home to their families, go on vacation. They didn't even think about those poor children separated from their parents in Central America. Didn't give a shit about the struggles in the Middle East. None of that. It's just news. But this virus, this outbreak is affecting them. Their livelihood. You know? The big companies can't make money because the little man that they overlooked was the lubricant for democracy to function. And they let it fall apart by putting someone in power that they know he wasn't qualified. Not that they didn't know. They know. But ratings was more important than the country. So, some of the people fell for it. You still can't convince people that this virus is killing. You know, we're losing 22,000 that they're telling us. It has to be more because people dying at homes, convalescent homes, rural areas, they're not telling us this. food shortages is coming because now the factories that manufacture our food. That's another thing that gets me with these people. The same ones who demagogue these immigrants and low-wage workers didn't realize that every time they get their organic food or their full of steroid food, canned food, they didn't pick it. They didn't process it. There was somebody who they don't like feeding them, waiting on them, cleaning up their shit. This is what's going on, man. This is how fucked up propaganda can get you. And when you listen to Fox News or Newsmax or St. Clair Broadcasting, you kind of be kind of fucked up there, you know. So just keeping it on the political side for a moment. Yeah, I know this is supposed to be a comedy, political comedy show, but I just want everybody to understand this is what's happening here in our country. So they play us against each other. Like my daughter said a while back, you know, the devil, he don't see color. You only see power. You're listening to the Cole Comedy Show. I'll be right back. Barack Obama decided to endorse Sleepy Joe Biden. It's going to be a game changer. But you know, the other side, they're pretty good at bullshit. What I mean by that is that, hey man, do you really think the Republican Party is a party that cares about the people that vote Republican, mostly the low information voters? You're just as crazy as those who think Donald Trump is qualified to be president. So, the game is on. Barack Obama is going to go out and enjoy Sleepy Joe. And Joe is going to have a lot to beat Donald Trump across the head with. But that's not guaranteeing Joe Biden is going to win. It's up to American citizens to get their asses out there and vote. And we see the results of Donald Trump now, so people can't say, give him a chance. You gave him a chance, and how it's working out for you. Some of the people don't believe that this virus is strong. That's mostly in the red states where people are simple-minded. Yes, I said it because they believe bullshit before they believe the truth. Stop listening to Rush Limbaugh. You know, that dude is fucked up mentally and physically. So, we got to turn Hannity off and Fox News. Which, I don't understand how Fox News can act like it's a news organization. If you want to quote Fox News, you got to be kind of out of your mind, you know what I'm saying? Propaganda strong in America, around the world. People are dying. We got to wake up and realize that bad government, bad leaders in government make the country bad. Let's find out what's going on. You're listening to the Cole Comedy Show.
World upside down. The story changes hourly. It's why the 11th hour is here every night.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
These are the United States, a united people with a united purpose.
The future doesn't belong to the faint-hearted. It belongs to the brave.
A great people has been moved to defend a great nation.
All of us can extend a hand to those in need.
We're all in this together.
Choosing Joe to be my vice president was one of the best decisions I ever made, and he became a close friend. And I believe Joe has all the qualities we need in a president right now. Joe has the character and the experience to guide us through one of our darkest times and heal us through a long recovery.
A major moment in the 2020 presidential race. President Barack Obama endorsing Joe Biden today. It's a 12-minute long video. Watch the whole thing if you've forgotten what a real president sounds like. As much as it was designed to articulate his support for Joe Biden, who was his number two, his message was also, as importantly, an overture to the progressive wing of the Democratic Party, reminding everyone what's at stake.
The other side has a massive war chest. The other side has a propaganda network with little regard for the truth. On the other hand, pandemics have a way of cutting through a lot of noise and spin to remind us of what is real and what is important. This crisis has reminded us that government matters. It's reminded us that good government matters, that facts and science matter, that the rule of law matters, that having leaders who are informed and honest and seek to bring people together rather than drive them apart, those kind of leaders matter. In other words, elections matter.
Woo! You just heard it from Barack Obama, wow. Y'all. Excuse me. Woo, it's not the virus. That's Barack Obama. Basically hitting the... Hey, you! Woo! Boy, that's... allergies. Hitting in there. Dead on... Head. Allergies. Woo! Man. Between allergies, you don't know you have the allergies now. Well, you got that damn thing. What I'm saying, Barack Obama, man, he's on point. He's right. You know, this is our government, man. It's, you know, elections matter. And the Republican Party, yeah, I think you vote Republican. You kind of, you know, you better talk to Grandma and Grandpa. You know, this is they fuck up. Make America great. I don't know how great it is right now, because, man, that man really don't know what he's doing. And you was warned. You're being warned again. Better pay attention. Let's find out what else is going on out here in this crazy world. This is crazy times. Hey, let me check this out.
Woo. Joining our conversation, former Democratic Senator Claire McCaskill and former RNC Chairman Michael Steele. Michael Steele, I'm coming straight for you. That was... that could have been the substance of a combat.
You know, when you listen to MSNBC, and you find out there's a lot of ex-Republicans on, supposed to be a liberal network, make you scratch your head, huh? How liberal is MSNBC, really? They just want to pull over conservative viewers, because Michael Steele, he used to work for the Republican Party. He was a mouthpiece until they threw him out and wouldn't give him the purse. Karen McCaskill, she's a little right-wing conservative. She'll talk around the issues. She knows Trump is an idiot, but they wanted to give him a chance. And this lady is the commentator, she worked with Sarah Palin. A little right-wing, but got a little nervous. You know, that's supposed to be the liberal side. That's corporate liberals, okay? They're just embarrassed that they belong to the Republican Party. And they knew what was going on all the time. They know. They know who this party, they know who that party really is, you know? It's funny. My sinus running, and this is a joke. You're listening to the Cold Sneeze and Cough on the Cold Comedy Show. Woo! Let's find out what's going on.
Convention speech. I mean, elections matter. Facts matter. Lives are on the line. I mean, that seems to be the right thing to say and the right way to win and defeat Donald Trump.
Well, not to take away from the seriousness of the moment we're in, obviously, with the coronavirus and the deaths and the concerns Americans have, we also have at the same time a presidential campaign, which is now full-throatedly going on. This is game on.
Yeah.
And this is a turning point, because I've sensed for a while, at least from the various folks I've talked to on the Democratic side, and even a couple of Republicans, that President Obama has been wanting to get in this thing for a while. And he's got a lot he wants to say, not just on behalf of Joe Biden, but I think on behalf of the presidency as a whole, which will be a very interesting position for him to take, I think. And so this was a clear shot out the gate. He's ready. He's engaged. I think it lifts Joe. It positions Joe's voice now as the voice of opposition to the handling of this epidemic by the administration, and to the concerns that a lot of Americans have about what they see and hear on a daily basis for at least 2 hours from the current commander-in-chief.
Claire McCaskill, President Obama and Michelle Obama are two of the most respected figures the world over, but perhaps their influence with one Bernie Sanders is one of the greatest displays of sort of quiet influence in our modern political moment. It's no small thing that Bernie Sanders is out and this Democratic primary contest is over, is it?
It's been a remarkable week. We have been distracted by the antics and the lack of leadership in the Oval Office, or as you like to say, the office without corners. But it has been remarkable, first, that Bernie got out. Secondly, that there was clearly affection and friendship between Bernie and Biden when Bernie announced his endorsement, and then following up today with a remarkable video that is such a contrast to what everyone saw, the caterwauling that everyone saw from the podium in the White House briefing room just yesterday evening. So, and I do think that Barack Obama was really smart about this. He knew that Biden needed to do this on his own, and Biden wanted to do it on his own, and he did. The voters decided. But through the whole process, Barack Obama kept the lines of communication open, not just with Joe Biden, but with the other candidates, and importantly, in recent weeks, with Bernie Sanders. And he listened to Bernie. He didn't call Bernie to tell him what to do. He didn't call Bernie to say, get out. He listened, and he wanted to make sure, I believe, that Bernie understood that he was an important part of this team, and that he needed to be on this team, and that his country needed him to be a real participant in this team. And I think that's what Barack Obama did in this election, is that he softened the edges so the end was not painful.
Michael Steele, Donald Trump has been tweeting a lot of clear agitation at Fox News. And to me, that's a canary in the mine kind of indicator. When he's mad at Fox, they're doing a little bit too much. The truth is too overwhelming even for Fox to blot it out completely. Where do you think Trump's conduct and the increasing exposure of his conduct, even among his base, stands right now? Is it a liability? Is it sort of a yellow flag? Is there anything flashing red for you? Where do you think his political standing is right now?
Yesterday was flashing red. What we saw yesterday was a moment that it was unprecedented. And, Paula Reid, you go, girl. I mean, just the doggedness of saying, making it very clear, you're not going to deflect backwards. I'm talking about a specific point in time where your administration has a gap. Can you explain that? That level of forcefulness clearly gets to the president in a way that nothing else does. And the more the press is doing that honestly and not falling into the little traps, the little rabbit holes that he creates, the much more difficult, I believe, this will be for the administration to continue to spin out of them. So right now, you're pretty much, when you look at the overall architecture of what we've seen over the last 2 weeks with these, what I call coronavirus press rallies, is yellow flags, little warning signs going off here and here and there. But yesterday, you actually got to see the red flag raised because of the way the president performed.
And Claire, as Michael Steele so rightly points out, what undoes Donald Trump is the facts. And the facts, what he's still reeling from, is an investigation by the New York Times over the weekend with email after email after email chains from the group called the Red Dawn. They saw this threat. They knew exactly what was coming. The campaign against Donald Trump writes itself. You knew the pandemic was coming and you did nothing. And then he's on tape in those briefings saying, yeah, I didn't do anything. I thought it was my job. He basically admits to lying. I mean, at some level, this is as revealed as Donald Trump is going to be. What should Joe Biden do next?
I think all Joe Biden has to do is provide that contrast. I mean, if you listen to what Barack Obama said about Joe Biden today, he said, number one, he's going to surround himself with good people. He's going to listen to the experts. He's going to listen to the scientists. He's going to have a government that works. And number two, he's not going to lie. He's.
As Kara McCaskill. Look. It's funny. It took Donald Trump 3.5 years to fuck up the world. Think about that. I've said that back in my comedy show back in 2016. What do you got to lose, right? That's what he said. What do you got to lose? Your lives. You only live once. You know, that's was kind of funny when I did it, but it's not so funny now because we're living it, you know. Man, you got to, you know, what you do, man, with consequences, man. These are the results. This is what he did. You know, we got to get this guy out. But people looking at him, but you're not looking at the whole entire picture. What I mean by that is take a good look at Donald Trump and then take a good look at the Republican Party. Who are these guys? Why do they hate ordinary people? Why would they keep us fighting amongst each other? Why would they create a propaganda machine from Fox News to talk radio to lie to us, to spin? If that a party cares about their base, they wouldn't do that. They wouldn't lie to keep them in line. And that's what I'm saying. And you know, this game back and forth, right, left, I want to love my guns, I love my God, whatever. It is not what's going on today. People are dying, and some people are still ignoring the truth. Some wants, you know, the business to start over, to open up the country, whatever they call it. You know, the president realized that he's not smart. Or does he realize? But the world realized he's not smart. But America's not smart. Because smart people wouldn't have done this to their country. We need a government that functions, you know. We have to pay more attention. We need a government that helps citizens to be better educated. Because obviously, you see, you know, we're not that educated. You know, we can't afford it. Some have learning disabilities. Some just don't fucking learn anything anyway. But we need to better educate American citizens. Because we keep playing this game back and forth. Democrat fix it, Republican breaks it, Democrat fix it again, Republican breaks it. This time you got a fool in there, he just destroyed it. Big government is the problem, Ronald Reagan said. Now we don't even have a government that can function. Hey, you're listening to the Cold Comedy Show. And boy, I don't see none of this shit's funny. Let's find out what's going on. I'm going live now. we're all in this together. We're all in this together. I'm going to have some friends on my show coming up on the next podcast. And we're going to be discussing some of these subjects, what I'm going to be talking about today, like food shortages and stuff. You know, the farmers down in Florida is plowing over the fields because, hey, no one's going out to eat at the restaurants. Waste of food. Someone could eat it. But, hey, too much food, too much dairy. And but we import our eggs from China. Crazy. That's a whole different subject we're going to be talking about. All right, so let's find out what else is going on for one more segment of the Cole Comedy News Gossip, I call it. I don't know.
It's only human to care for those we love and also help light their way. It's why last year Chevron invested over $10 billion to bring affordable, reliable, ever cleaner energy to America.
How can Experian Boost help you?
Capitalism don't stop. Oh, they care. They care because oil prices are real low. Oh, man. What a con job this country is. Let's see what's on CNN.
Ms. Foster, thank you so much. A bizarre situation in Nicaragua. President Daniel Ortega has not been seen or heard from by the public in more than a month in the midst of a global crisis.
Human
Rights Watch criticizing President Ortega's lack of any sort of response to the pandemic. CNN's Matt Rivers joins us now from Mexico. And Matt, perhaps even more bizarre, the vice president is President Ortega's wife, and she has told the country everything's fine and coronavirus is not a problem.
Yeah, she's really become the public face of the response or the lack thereof from the Ortega administration. The last time that Daniel Ortega was seen in person was on February 21st at a military parade. The last time he was seen at all was on a virtual conference call, a video conference call with other Central American leaders a little over a month ago. And since then, it's been crickets. No one has any idea where he is. The government publicly says he's still running things behind the scenes, but it's obviously prompted widespread speculation that there's something wrong with him, perhaps. He has health issues. He's 74 years old. CNN has reached out multiple times, not heard anything back from the Nicaraguan government. Man. Meanwhile, the government has done virtually nothing to stop this outbreak from spreading. Schools are open, businesses are open, the borders remain open as opposed to other Central American
Jesus
countries.
Christ.
And yet, the vice president, in her Easter address to the nation, said that people should basically keep doing things as they normally do, worship as they normally do. And I even saw a post on a government-run website that promoted discounts at a fish market in the capital city of Managua, Jake.
That's just insane. All right, Matt Rivers, thank you so much. Coming up, more on the coronavirus pandemic. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Now, I took the words right out of my mouth. That fucking shit is insane. This is crazy. This is really insane, man. This is crazy, man. It's going to be so many people dead in Central America. It's going to be unbelievable. This is like blowing my mind right now. I don't even have nothing to say about that. Like, wow. I mean, like, we're living deeply. Like, did we wake up on the other side in a different reality? And this is like Groundhog Day or some crazy shit. But no, this is what's happening in this world. in Central America from here down to Brazil. Nuts, man. Nuts. Those guys are nuts. They're strongmen and they're nuts. See what else is going on in this crazy world. And then I'm going to close out because this is crazy times.
When we gather, whether it's a march for civil rights or women's rights, or whether it's a large group on the mall at the 4th of July, or whether it's sporting events, or frankly, all of us going to our polling places, those are American things that we have to hold on to. So we have to get through this and still gather as a community, because if we don't, we're going to lose a really essential part of what has made our country so extraordinary.
That was part of the conversation you and I had Saturday night on our screens about missing baseball and missing sports and missing that community. I know I'm missing that. I'm missing sitting around a table next to you, but a screen is a perfectly adequate runner-up.
You know what I'm not, you know what I'm not worried about, though, Nicole? I'm not worried about people voting in November. What? I'm not worried about the numbers.
Wisconsin proves that, right?
Wisconsin is amazing. When you start trying to play games with the American people about making it harder for them to vote, it's not like people don't get what you're doing. And people will go the extra miles. I've said on this program before and others, I think people will crawl through glass to vote in November because they feel so strongly about what's going on in our government right now. And Wisconsin yesterday, it's been a bad 48 hours for the president because he had that meltdown and then Wisconsin and now the coming together of the Democratic Party. So I'm at this point, I'm kind of optimistic.
All right, I'll take it. Kind of optimistic is the best thing I've heard all day. Senator Claire McCaskill, thank you, my friend.
After
the break, a celebration of a life well lived and new appreciation for the heroes of the moment.